Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
A healing place. Oh, it's great to be with you, and it's great to have the opportunity to preach. Love your pastors. Love them. And as he said, for 27 years, we've been friends in Bible college. I like to say we were roommates. How many were confused when he said suite mates? You know, I was just a little confused there. It was like a suite. It was like a room and a bathroom and a room, and they connected. So we were there, and he did steal all the treats. But we were there for a lot of years and did some great ministry together. And it was kind of my job in Bible college to keep your pastor saved. That was my job, to keep him saved, keep him out of trouble. And this is, I was telling Dylan this. Dylan came and stayed with us for a week and spent some vacation with us. And I told that to Dylan. I said, Dylan, I kept your dad saved in Bible college. And he looked at me with just serious. He goes, was it hard? I said, yes, it was. It was hard. But I'm glad we did it. But we did ministry together way back in the day. And I have a couple of pictures. I got to show you the fellowship group that we ran together. I got a picture of us doing that. I'm leading worship, and your pastor is standing right behind me, clapping offbeat, you know, right there, and leading our group. And I want to show you another picture of him and I together. This is just taking that same day. Look at that's your pastor right there. Man, we go way back. And then we were in each other's weddings, and DeLynn sang at our wedding. So I want to show you a picture of us as couples. Right there, there's your pastor and his lovely wife with the lion mane going on. How many know? And I want my wife to stand. She's with me here. My wife, Becca, is here. Great to have her. I want to show you real quick. I'm getting to know you, and you're getting to know me. I want to show you a picture of my family. We have two wonderful boys, Connor and Logan, and they're back at home wishing they were here because it's probably about 25 degrees right now with about 6 feet of snow on the ground. How many love the weather here? You know, yes. So we're loving it. But anyways, that's our family, and I just wanted to see what's going on. Your church helped start us. I want to let you know that. You helped to start our church. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but it was thousands of dollars that you sent to us 15 years ago when we were just getting started and invested in us. And I want to let you know this. We didn't plan this way, but it actually worked out. 3 years ago to the day, 3 years ago to the day, your church stepped in one of our largest crises that we had as a church. It was a crisis. I won't go into all the details, but it was a financial crisis, unexpected. And I called your pastor, and within a moment, he said, we're in, we will help, we will rescue right now and give you a little bridge loan to make it through till Sunday. So 3 years ago today, you helped us, gave us a little bridge loan. I stood before the church and said, we either stay open or close. This is a critical day for us. Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge has stepped in and has helped us with a little bridge loan. It's our day to decide if we survive or not. And the church overwhelmingly said, we're going to survive and thrive. And since then, we were about 1,000 at that time. Now we're running 4,000 with four campuses. And I want to say thank you for stepping in. You guys stepped in. Thank you. So we have a connection to Louisiana, to Healing Place Church. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. How many know that was part of the Louisiana Purchase? So I'm like a Northern Cajun. How many know what I'm talking about right there? And I asked my wife to marry me here in Baton Rouge. I mean, this is a special place. And we love your church, love your pastors, love all that God is doing. And when Pastor Dino asked me to preach, he said, you're doing a word series. And I jumped at taking this word today, the word healing. I wanted to take the word healing. That was my word. I said, you've got to let me preach on healing. I feel like I've got something there. And he's like, take it, go with it. We're excited for that. So the word that we're going to look at today is healing. And let me just say this right up front. I believe in a God that heals. Can I get a better amen? All right. I'm going to do like your pastor. He came and preached in Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesotans were like this. We're like, amen. And he goes, can I get a better amen? They said, amen. He said, can I get, he kept doing it. Afterwards, he said, they hated me. I said, they loved you. That's really excited for Minnesotans. So I expect more out of Louisiana, all right? All right. But I believe in a God that does the supernatural. I believe in that. And think about it. Now, some people say, like, Pastor Rob, I can't believe you believe in the supernatural. Come on. Our faith is founded on someone that rose from the dead. Come on. We can believe in the supernatural. And so we're going to talk about healing and what God has for us. And I think whenever you start talking about the supernatural, whenever you start talking about healing, you kind of go out there as one of those Christians. How many know what I'm talking about? One of those Christians, because the world is very comfortable if we're Christians that believe in a peaceful Jesus, a kind Jesus, a therapeutic Jesus. But when we get into supernatural, when we get into a Jesus that says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I mean, he's it. He's the way, the truth. That's it. They don't like that. They just want us to say peaceful. But I'm going to tell you, it's okay to be branded somebody that believes in the supernatural. Somebody that believes that God still does the miraculous. And that's okay. And I'm one of those. And I know that one of the attacks that the enemy does to us is he says, you can't share your healing. You can't share your miracle with people. You got to just, it's okay that you got your healing. It's okay that you got a miracle, but don't tell anybody about it because you don't want to be labeled. You don't want to be ostracized. You don't want to be, so just, shh, it's okay. Just don't tell anybody. And I got to tell you this, I think we're way too quiet about the healings. Amen. We're way too quiet about the miraculous. We're way too quiet about the supernatural. And I'd love to have our churches full of what I would call a natural supernatural. A natural. We don't have to be different. We don't have to be crazy. But we can have the supernatural flowing and be excited about what God does. And I believe in a God that heals. Now, I've prayed for hundreds, maybe thousands of people, but prayed for people to be healed. And sometimes we see a miraculous healing take place. Had one guy in our church 3 years ago. He came in. He said, Pastor, I've been given 3 months to live. My liver is shutting down. The doctors have said, 3 months, get your life in order. We prayed for him three years ago. He's still in the church. He came up to me the other day. He said, Pastor, still alive. Miracle on my liver. I praise God for those moments. I've seen people that are healed of different diseases. I've seen people set free of things. And so we believe in that and pray for that. But on the same thing, I've seen people prayed for and they didn't have something happen. They didn't have something happen here. They didn't have anything happen here. And so, but we still pray for them. We still pray for them. We still believe in it. And I will tell you this, that whether the healing happens here on earth or whether it happens in heaven, there's nobody going to heaven that isn't healed. Okay? He's going to heal you in heaven and you're going to be living in a glorified body. There will be healing and wholeness there. And sometimes it happens here, but I guarantee you it will happen there. So in the process of this, let's not give up though in praying and believing for what's been provided for and saying that we are okay with saying that we want to believe for that. We want to ask God for that. And I'm going to share later on a story of healing that happened to us. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want to have you turn with me to John chapter 5. We're going to look at a story of healing. And I want to say this, I don't have it all figured out on healing, and I'm okay with that. I don't understand all of what God does with healing, but I know that he does. And I keep believing for it. And this story will add some questions, but it'll add some clarity for us in what Jesus does with healing. So John chapter 5. It's the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Now, I've been to the pool of Bethesda. I've been where they discovered that the pool of Bethesda is in Israel, in Jerusalem, right there. And it was a pretty amazing thing. I don't know why, but in my mind, I pictured a really small pool. I just pictured like a wading pool or a little fountain thing or, you know, just a small pool area. It was huge. It was huge. It was almost like an Olympic-sized pool. There is a giant pool. And I kind of pictured a shallow pool. but it was a very deep pool, very deep, so deep that you could have like a high dive board and dive in, not hit the bottom. Deep pool, big pool, lot of area around it where people would be standing and waiting for their miracle. So imagine with me, big area, big pool, deep pool, lots of people. And this is where we pick up our story in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else always goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Then the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. So here's the story. This guy is waiting for a healing. He's waiting for a healing and standing around this pool. And if you noticed, in my version of the Bible, I didn't have verse 4. Some of yours might have had a verse 4, and here's why. Verse 4 was added later. Some of the early manuscripts didn't have verse 4. But in order for us to understand the context of what's going on in this story, they added this in some manuscripts to give us some clarity. And here's what was going on. The people would stand around the pool and wait for a bubble to happen. And if there was a bubble pocket that would come, they believed that an angel was touching the water at that moment, and first one into the pool would be healed. So that's why when Jesus asked him for the miracle, the guy's like, "Well, I can't get in the water. I can't get in." Because he was waiting and they were all watching for the bubbles. So if you can imagine this, all these people are standing around waiting for their healing. They're all there, eyes on the pool. They've got like pushing teams. Could you imagine that? Because some of them are lame. Some of them are crippled. Some of them are blind. So they have spotters that are watching the water for them. And as soon as the water bubbles, can you imagine this? All these people and like shoving all the lame people in. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, that's mayhem, okay? And then one person gets on, "I got it, I got it." And then the other people would yell at their team, "Come on, pit crew, you got to be quicker. You got to, I mean, how many know? You got to get me in there quicker." And this is what's going on here. So this scene is going on. And Jesus walks up in this scene and fixes his eyes on one person. One person. I mean, he's got a pool full of people all waiting for the bubbles to happen, and he fixes his eyes on one person. And when I read this story, I realize this guy doesn't even know who Jesus is. And you think about it, if Jesus is going to do a miracle and going to pick one person, don't you think he'd pick the person that was kind of like, "Hey, are you Jesus? Are you..." Don't you think like he'd do like that with somebody that knew him? This guy has no clue, and Jesus picks this one guy. Now, theologians have thought that the reason that Jesus picks this one guy is because he was the least likely to get a miracle. He was the one that people said, difficult situation, because he's crippled, he has a problem, and he doesn't have any friends. And he's never getting, he doesn't have a pushing team. He doesn't have anything. He's got a bad disease. This guy has no chance of being healed. There's no opportunity for this guy. And Jesus takes what we would say is the hardest case. And Jesus said, "I'm going to take the hardest, the most difficult, and that's who's getting the miracle today." And how many know that when we rank miracles, that's just our deal? For the creator of the universe, it's like it doesn't matter what the disease is. You know, but for us, we're kind of like, "Ooh, I don't know, that's a big one. I don't know if we can do that one. Can we do that one? Do we got faith for that one?" Jesus is like, nothing's too difficult for me. I created the whole earth. I did it. I've got the power. So Jesus goes and takes the most difficult guy who's been lame for 38 years, 13,680 days. This guy has been lame. And Jesus goes and takes this one guy and does a miracle for him. Now, I don't understand why only one guy got the miracle. I don't understand, because the Bible says that Jesus, after he works the miracle for this guy, he slips off into the crowd and doesn't even do any more miracles. And you could imagine if ever there was a moment that a bunch of people could have got in on a miracle, that their faith would have been rising up. How many know that if a guy picks up his mat and starts running around, you know, everybody's like, heal me, my faith is up, my faith. I mean, Jesus could have just walked around and high-fived everybody, right? And they could have all got healed, but he slips off. And I don't understand this about healing. I don't understand why sometimes it happens for one person there and one person there, or a group here or that, and you prayed and prayed and prayed, and this person prays and it doesn't, and then finally it does. I don't understand that, but he's God and I'll trust him. He's God and I'll trust what he's going to do. So Jesus asked this guy, do you want to be healed? What does the guy say? I mean, that's a yes or no. You know what I mean? That's a yes or no. And the obvious answer is yes, right? And so what does he do? He goes, well, you know, I don't have any people. I don't have a pushing team. I don't have this. And the water's stirred. And when the water's stirred, I can't get in. It's a, how many are glad that Jesus just ignored this guy's wrong answer? How many are just glad that Jesus ignores our wrong answer sometimes? And he's like, yeah, you don't even know what you need. All right, I'll take care of you. I love that. Jesus was saying, what do you want? And I'm the one that's going to give it to you. What do you want? And the guy's like, instead of focusing on what he wanted, he's like, where it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And Jesus is like, forget about where, when, how, who is here, and what's going to happen. I mean, that's what was going on in that moment. And I'm glad that this guy just, Jesus ignores his question or ignores his answer and just says, all right, you're getting your miracle. And he does the miracle for this guy. And it's just such an amazing, amazing moment that God shows up and works this miracle healing. And I believe that God still does that today. I still believe that he does that. Now, I believe that we get so caught up in the where, when, how, you know. And Jesus is saying, just focus on the what. Focus on who will do the miracle for you and what the miracle is that you're looking for. Focus on that. But we get so distracted and we say, God, you got to do it this way, this way, this way, this way. And how many know that God can work a healing miracle many different ways? I've researched a few of these. One of the scriptures says in James chapter 5, it says that we can call for the elders of the church to pray for us and anoint us with oil. And there's something about that process where God brings healing. That's one of the ways that we can pray and believe God for healing and believe him for the miraculous. Another thing is that believers can pray. In Mark 16, the Bible says that these signs will follow those that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on sick people and they will get well. It doesn't just have to be an elder. It doesn't have to just be with anointing oil. And sometimes we think it's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. And we tell God how we want our miracle to be. And it can happen any way he wants it to happen. And God can use believers to do this. I love this. The other day, a guy in our church came up to me and he said, Pastor Rob, he said, you will not believe this. He said, we were having a little family get together. I've been sick for a long time. This sickness has been just debilitating me and taking me down. I can't even go to work. And we're having a family gathering. And my brother just gets up from the table, comes over, lays hands on me and prays for healing. And he goes, all of a sudden, I felt warmth surge through my body. And I felt God's healing power there to the point that I've been completely set free. I have no more side effects. And he's like, can you believe that? God used my brother, you know? And I was like, yes, that's okay, because that's what it says. These signs will follow those that believe in my name. God will use us. God will use all of us. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, so we can have the elders anoint us with oil. God can use those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are some that have the gift of healing. Have you ever been around somebody that has a gift of healing? You know, have the gift of healing. I've seen this happen. I remember we were praying for my dad. We were in a service And my dad had broken some bones next to his backbone. And so he's there in this service and he was in pain and he'd been living for years in pain. And this evangelist just goes, "You, right there, stand up." And he goes, "God's going to heal you." And he kind of waves his hand like that. And my dad goes crashing over the chairs. You know, and I just thought, oh, now you killed my dad. You know what I mean? Yeah. His dad's crashing down. He gets up perfectly healed. Perfectly healed. So I thank God for people like that. That's just an amazing thing. You know, and one thing that I've always struggled with, though, why is it that people that seem to have that gift just sometimes are just touch odd? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I prayed for this gift, haven't got it yet, you know, but I was just kind of a little, you know, out there, but they have that gift. In response to our faith is another way that God brings healing. In Matthew chapter 9, the woman with the issue of blood, she's saying, "I need a healing. I need a healing. I need to be touched by God. I need a healing. I need a healing." And she just touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, "Because of your faith, you're healed." But how many thank God that sometimes we don't have to have the faith for it? Because in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion's servant was healed and she had nothing to do with it. The centurion's faith is what did it. And so I thank God that sometimes it's our faith. Sometimes it's other people's faith. Sometimes people have the gift of healing. Sometimes it's believers praying for other believers. Sometimes it's the elders. How many just thank God for all those different ways? And then I thank God that also, in addition to that, for doctors that can help us to have healing. Because I see in the parable of the Good Samaritan, he brought about healing by wrapping the man's wounds with bandages and oil. And he took care of them. And he washed the wounds. And he helped bring about. There's so many different ways. And if we really get down to the last thing, God's sovereign. And he's going to do what he wants to do. He's sovereign. He's a powerful God. He's a miracle-working God. He's a God that does healing. That's one of his names. And I believe that God will do what God's going to want to do. And that's why it just confuses us sometimes when we pray and different things happen. Now, we had an amazing miracle take place in our life. An amazing healing. And I want to share with you about that story. And I want you to see where it took place, because it didn't take place in the where, when, how that we thought. And I actually wanted you to see where it took place. So I want you to see this video of where our miracle took place before I talk about it.
I'm standing here at Falcon Ridge Middle School in Apple Valley, Minnesota, and this is just the loading dock for the school, but to me, it's the place that the miracle took place. This is a place that is special to me. I haven't been back really since our church left this spot, but this is where God showed up in an amazing way and did an amazing miracle in the life of our oldest son, Connor. I'll tell you all the details about it. He was miraculously healed of autism here, and I wanted you to see the spot. I wanted you to see that God showed up in a place that I don't think a lot of us would say that's where God's going to show up. If God's going to work a miracle, it needs to be in a special place, at a special time, in a special moment. And I just believe God's going to show up where he wants to show up, when he wants to show up, and we can't put him in a box. And I think that even in our own life, standing in this loading dock, back by the custodial offices, just where the garbage cans are and they're in and out into the dumpster. God just says, "Hey, I'm bigger than that. It's about me. Focus on me. I'm going to show up in places, give you holy moments. I'm going to be there. I'm going to work the miraculous." But don't get caught up in the place. Get caught up in who's working the miraculous. And so I wanted you to see this. I wanted to just get you to understand where the greatest miracle in my life ever took place. And I wanted you to see that God's going to show up anywhere he wants. And the biggest thing we need to focus in on is, God, just show up. That's all we're asking, God. Just show up. We'll let you show up wherever you want. Just show up.
So I went and shot that video the other day at the actual spot. And the custodians were all like watching me tape the video. And they're kind of like, what happened right there? And I said, a greatest miracle happened, but it isn't a holy spot. It's a holy Savior that did it. And then I started preaching to all the custodians. And they still were kind of like walking around that spot like, you know, look at that. But here's what happened. Our son was born with autism. We didn't know that. You know, we were first-time parents. And, you know, so we're just all happy that our son is here and, you know, really excited about him. And we noticed that he didn't like to sleep laying flat in the crib. He would cry all night if he laid flat in the crib, and he's just so fussy. But we learned that if he stayed in his car seat buckled in, he slept all night. So how many know as new parents, you just adapt? How many know? Right? And so you adapt and you're like, so we put the car seat in the crib and people are like, that's not normal. We're like, well, he's just good. We like it. He sleeps. He likes the buckle. Just leave us alone. Right? And then we noticed that he wasn't talking that much. And when he did talk, as he grew older, he wouldn't talk that much. He'd only parrot back to us. We'd say, where are we going? He'd say, where are we going? Going to the mall, going to the mall. Then we noticed that he knew the directions to everywhere. And if we ever varied from the path, he'd scream because he knew we were off the path. Now, that's not normal for a 2 or 3 year old. You know, we noticed that everything had to be lined up in trains. And when he'd eat his meal, everything was in trains. And he hated getting things on his hands. And the light bothered him and the sound bothered him. And he wouldn't look us in the eye. To get him to look us in the eye was a chore. And we'd say, Connor, look at us. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and he didn't interact with other kids. And so we brought him into the special ed department. And they said, yes, your son has autism. I can remember the moment that we heard that. We thought, okay, this is not what we thought. You know, I can remember we cried, we prayed, we fasted, we asked God for a miracle, and nothing really happened. And so for a couple of years, from 2 to 4 years old, he was just, we just loved him. And we just thought, okay, this is our lot right now. God, we love you. We serve you. And I can remember somebody gave us a poem that said, Welcome to Holland. And it was like this cool poem, and it was talking about how when your life goes a different direction, it's still okay. And we were cool with it. We were like, okay, God, this is okay. We're going to love you no matter what. We're going to love Connor. This is where we're at. And he was in special ed and going to school. And we were in the church one day in portable church, setting up the equipment, tearing down the equipment, just about ready to go. And we had a guest speaker there. We're in the loading dock area that you saw, just about ready to leave. We had loaded up the truck of the last little equipment. And the guest pastor just said, hey, is there anything you'd like us to pray for? Well, we were a new church, about 200 people. I said, well, we'd love to pray for growth. We'd love to pray for more tithe. You know, those would be some good things. And in that moment, my wife just goes, our son has autism and we want him to be healed. And I was like, yeah, that's way better. Way, way better. Way better. You know? And so he goes, okay, let's pray. And so he lays hands on Connor and just prays a simple prayer, normal prayer. Not, you know, nothing major. It's just like, Lord, we just pray for Connor right now. It wasn't like R.W. Shambach. How many know R.W. Shambach? Love R.W. But it wasn't like, you know, Lord, we pray. It was just like, Lord, we just pray. Real Minnesotan, you know, just kind of take it easy. And he prays for him. And all of a sudden he looks up and he goes, God's going to heal your son. God has heard that you've not complained, that you love him, and you've served him faithfully. And God's going to heal your son for God's glory. And we're like, Did you just say it? And our son that couldn't look you in the eye started to look us in the eye. Our son that started lining things up with trains didn't line things up with trains. Our son that when you'd open a gift in the living room and you'd say, you want to play with that toy again, and you'd be in the kitchen, he'd always run to the living room with the toy. He started going to where you were. All the things that were gone. He didn't sleep buckled in anymore. He slept laying flat. All these things started to happen, and our son was healed. We brought him to the special ed teacher. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, he was miraculously healed. We brought him to the special ed teacher. She's like, what happened to Connor? Something happened to Connor. What happened to Connor? I mean, and she's looking at Connor. She's like, something happened. We said, God healed him. She's like, I believe it because I see what's going on in his life. He's not doing the same things anymore. We brought him to the pre-screening for kindergarten, brought him in. We had him tested. We said, do you see anything? They're like, no, he's great. He's doing wonderful. We're like, do you see any hints of autism? They're like, no, what are you talking about? We told them the story about it, and they looked at us like, you guys are crazy. And I just said, this is amazing. A miracle took place. A miracle took place, and we're going to give God the glory for this. A healing took place. Our son just has become a normal boy. He's become a normal 17-year-old now that has a job. He's going to school, straight-A student. He's in the select choir group. He's active in the youth group. He wants a girlfriend. He's a normal guy. How many know what I'm talking about? Got a picture. Just show the picture up of him up there. And so we got, that's just Connor. I mean, he's just a normal guy. And here's the thing. He said to us, we told him a couple years ago, we said, Connor, you were healed of autism. And here's how we told him. We kind of kept it, you know, quiet, and I kind of felt bad about it. He was healed and we celebrated it right away, but then we kind of let him just be a normal kid. And one day he was watching TV and he was watching a show on autism and he started to tear up and he said, Dad, Mom, somebody's got to do something for those kids. And he looks at his mom and I and we're bawling, you know, and he's like, what's going on? And so we told him and he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that he was completely healed, that he has no recollection of that at all. And he's like, wow, I just can't believe that God did this for me. And so just recently he came to me and he said, Dad, he said, would you please start talking more about this? Would you go and tell people that God heals? Because I was healed for God's glory. And he said, we can't keep it quiet. He said, I may be 17 and it may label me as, you know, the kid that was formerly autistic and my friends may think different of me, but I don't care because I was healed and God did it for his glory. So we've got to tell people about it. So will you go tell people about it? I love that he said that. And so knowing what God did in our lives, and it wasn't because we were super people of faith. We were just moving on. It was just God had one of those moments where he broke in. And if anybody had a moment of faith there, it was my wife. It wasn't me. It was my wife. She's out there being bold. But still, I believe that God did it for his glory. And I believe that's why God still heals today. And if I have a word for Healing Place Church, it would be this. You have excelled as a church in bringing healing to a hurting world. You are known around the nation as a church of healing for those that are hurting. You are the ones that bring comfort. You are the ones that bring care. You are the ones there loving on people. And you are a Healing Place Church. You have that part of healing so well taken care of. The whole nation is following you, your example. I mean, that's what everybody thinks about the church. But I want to tell you this. I really believe that you should receive this, that not only are you going to be Healing Place Church bringing care, but you need to be Healing Place Church believing for the supernatural. It's there's both sides of it, and you have excelled. You've led the nation. You're around the world. We know about this church and the care and the healing that's brought. But let's not forget that we serve a supernatural God that wants to do the miraculous, that wants to heal, that still does that today, that we can step out in faith and believe for those things. We don't have to have it all figured out. And I think sometimes because we don't have it figured out, we say, well, we've got the care part figured out. We'll stick with that. Let's be okay with going into the supernatural and believing God for healing, believing God for miracles. And I pray that your name, Healing Place Church, would encompass both sides of that. Bringing healing, but bringing the miraculous. I'm believing for that. In just a minute, we're going to pray for the sick. We are believing that God will give comfort and care, and every person that is sick will feel the love of Jesus in this church. You will know that you are loved. You will feel that. People will pray for you. But we also believe that God will do the miraculous, that he still does that, and we're not giving up on that, and we're believing that God will do the miraculous. So I want to pray for your church. I want to pray that you would receive this, that you would take both sides of healing, comfort and supernatural, and bring it to the world and be an example for all the world to follow. So Lord, I pray right now for Healing Place Church in your name. We have seen you do the miraculous. We have seen you bring healings. Some of us here have been healed by you, and we proclaim that you're a good God, a supernatural God, a miracle working God, and you do heal today. So God, we ask that this church right now would be a healing place for a hurting world, bringing comfort. But we also pray that this church would be a healing place for a hurting world where the doctor has said there is no hope. And the experts have said that can't be healed. We believe you still can heal. We still believe that the supernatural will follow those that believe in your name, Lord Jesus. And I'm praying for a great anointing of the supernatural to fall upon this church. Not in any abnormal way, but in a normal everyday life, God, we'd expect to see the supernatural. We believe for healing. We believe for miracles. And we ask, God, that we'd see that happen. We continue to pray for them. We continue to believe for them. We continue to just accept that and then give you the praise and the glory because you are a miracle-working God. So God, use this church. Use this church to bring healing to the hurting. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.